So we've been talking about the jungle, about the world that we live in. And when you look around, I mean, I was just reading the news this morning to get some updates on what's going on in the world today. And the world is off the rails. The world is out of control. The world is filled with hurt. The world is filled with danger. The world is filled with brokenness. Welcome to the jungle, church, right? That's the world today. That's the reality. It's broken and it's out of control. And so we're studying the life of Daniel. The Lord has directed us to dive into Daniel and to check out his life so that we would have insight, so that we would have encouragement, get strategies on how to navigate a godless, broken, fallen world. Daniel was able to do it. He did it quite successfully. And the Lord wants us to also walk in that kind of success and power in this broken world today. So I want to dive right into what God's saying. We're going to go directly in to point one. No jokes. I know everybody's disappointed. You don't have a Pastor Eric joke. My kids cringe every time I tell one, but not this morning, guys. We're going to dive right into point one. And that is this, that the world is desperate for answers. Point number one this morning, the world is desperate for answers. We are in Daniel chapter 2. Go to verse 1 with me. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, the enchanters, the sorcerers, and the astrologers to tell him what he had dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I have had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means." I've had a dream that troubles me, and I want to know what it means. Church, the world is troubled. Even kings, even presidents and congressmen and senators and governors, the world is troubled. The world is lost, and the world is desperate for answers. The world's desperate for truth, but they're looking for truth in all the wrong places. In their song, an old country song, looking for truth in too many faces. Okay, it's not quite how it goes, but that's the reality of the world we live in. People in our world not knowing where to look or looking in the wrong places for the answers. They're desperate for the answers, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're turning on the news. They're looking to CNN and Fox for the answers. That's craziness. They're looking in the wrong places. They're looking for schools and higher education and places and professors to give them the answers, to clue them in, to tell them what truth really is and what really matters. They're looking in the wrong places. People are looking for answers. They're looking to government for answers. Isn't that why we elect these people? To give us the answers? To make sure everything's just all right and perfect? And it's the wrong place. Government doesn't have the answers. Some people look to drugs for answers. Other people actually look to witchcraft for answers. It's a common thing. I mean, the horoscopes and all that kind of stuff. But even just hardcore witchcraft, it's out there. It's craziness in our world today. Even in our country, people are looking in the wrong places for truth. They're looking in the wrong places for answers. They're looking to science for answers. Now, I'm not an anti-science guy, but let me tell you what my definition of science is. My definition of science is this. It's mankind catching up to what God's already done. That's science, and that's not a bad thing. It's good for us to seek out what God has done, but that's really what science is. It doesn't have the answers. There's no answer apart from God, and science is us trying to catch up and figure out what God already knows and what he's already done. And so in Daniel chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries." You see, the world doesn't have the answers. The world longs for answers. The world wants to know the answers. But when the world looks to the world for answers, they always come up short and disappointed. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Come on, church. Can we be excited about that? I'm excited about that. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Somebody has the answer. His name is capital G-O-D. The creator of heaven and earth has all the answers about heaven and earth and can reveal the mysteries of heaven and earth to us. No one else can, but he can. Amen? Amen. And so God does reveal mysteries. And God does give answers to people. And he gives those answers and he reveals those mysteries to his church. That's point number two this morning. The church has the answers. So the world is desperate for answers, and the church has the answers. Why? Because we know God. We're his children. We're his priesthood. We're listening. We're plugged into the source, and we're his mouthpiece to deliver truth. Church, we're the delivery method of truth on the earth today. We are. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he uses his church, his people, to deliver truth, to reveal answers to the world today. Amen. None of the academics, none of the professors, none of the scientists or experts in Babylon, they didn't have the answers back in the day. With Daniel, they didn't have the mysteries of heaven, but there was one who did, and it is God, capital G-O-D. And he revealed the mysteries of that time. He revealed the mysteries of Nebuchadnezzar's dream through his son, Daniel. It says this in Daniel 2:11, what the king asks is too difficult. Now, these are all the enchanters and the astrologers and the magicians, the smart academic people, the scientists and engineers of the day that were supposed to have the answers, right? And so they're saying this. They're saying, what the king asks is too difficult. Yeah, it is. Because no one, they say, can reveal it to the king except the gods. They're using the small g, of course. And they do not live among men. That's what the smart people of the day were thinking, and that's how the smart people responded to the king's request to reveal mysteries to him. So this is what the Lord gave me this week. Hang with me on this. He said this to me. He said, what the smart people in the world had to offer was pathetic. But they didn't know that Daniel was prophetic. You like that? Sometimes when I'm praying and seeking the Lord for this stuff, you know, it gets a little kind of fun. You know, God just starts giving me things. What the smart people in the world had to offer was pathetic. But they didn't realize Daniel was prophetic. All right. All right. So we want to be prophetic. We want to be the prophetic people, not the pathetic people, right? How many of you are pathetic? Don't raise your hands, because you're not. Because we're going to be the prophetic people, right? Come on, raise your hands. Are you ready to be prophetic? That's what we're called to be. We're called to be the prophetic voice in our world today. Be the prophetic voice. In fact, that's the title of the message today, and I didn't even make a title slide, I don't think, for this thing. But be the, I did, look at that. Wow, I didn't know that. Be the, thank you, good job. Be the prophetic voice. That's the message of the Lord for us this morning. That's God's call for your life. Be the prophetic voice. Church, the world is troubled. The world's lost. It's desperate for answers. It's desperate for answers. The world doesn't have them, but there is a God in heaven who reveals those mysteries. So how is Daniel, the prophetic one, not the pathetic one, but how is the prophetic man, Daniel, how was he able to receive the prophetic word? I think it's important that we look at that because there's a lesson in it for us. As we're looking to be like Daniel and be the prophetic voice in our world today, let's look and see in Daniel's life, how did he receive the prophetic word and the mysteries of heaven? How did he get that from the Lord? Number one, he was positioned. Daniel was positioned. And we talked about this a couple weeks ago, about how Daniel was positioned for influence in his world, in the world of the day. And how we now, like Daniel, the people of God, are positioned for influence. See, Daniel was ready. He was placed in the right location at the right time to bring the mysteries of heaven, the prophetic word of God to that nation and to that king. He was positioned for influence, and so are we. We're the royal priesthood. I'm going to remind us of that again and again. You, me, us together, we are the royal priesthood. We are the people who hear from God. We are the people who know the voice of our master. We hear it, we know it, and we can hear what others cannot hear. We can have awareness of what others cannot have awareness of because we are children of God and we are the royal priesthood. The veil has been torn and we have access now to the Heavenly Father through Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit to understand and receive the mysteries of heaven. We're the royal priesthood. And we're the salt and light. We're change agents. We're the royal priesthood. We are the salt and light, and we are positioned in this world right now to be the prophetic voice. So Daniel was positioned. That's how he was, first of all, able to receive the prophetic word of the time. Secondly, he was prepared. He was positioned, and he was prepared to receive the prophetic word. He was living a life filled with faith. He was prepared because he was filled with faith. Do you want to be prepared for the big things of God? Then get filled with faith. Keep reminding yourself who God is, who Jesus is, that he is God, there is no other. Get to know him more and more. Study God. Get enamored with him. Get so filled and in awe of him that your faith goes from glory to glory. It just keeps building and building and building. Your confidence keeps going higher and higher and higher, not in you, but in God. Daniel's confidence in God was strong. His faith was strong, and that made him prepared to receive the prophetic word of the Lord. Amen. He was prepared. And Daniel, because he was prepared, when he saw a need, he responded. He didn't run away from it. Let's jump back into Daniel 2, verses 15 and 16. Daniel asked the king's officer, he said, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Now, we know what that harsh decree was. The harsh decree was is that the king said, "Hey, if you guys can't answer my question, if you can't reveal these mysteries and tell me about my dream, then you're gone. Every one of you is going to be put to death." And that included Daniel and his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? All those guys, they were part of that group. They were going to lose their heads. They were going to lose their lives. It was going to be over. That's the harsh decree that Daniel's talking about here. So why did the king? Why did he issue such a harsh decree? And Arioch, he's the officer, then explained the matter to Daniel. And he said, "At this time, Daniel..." He went to the king and he asked for time. Now look what happened. So Daniel says, "Why such a harsh decree?" Arioch, the officer, said, "Well, this is why." And Daniel didn't go, "Oh, bummer. I got to look for another way out." No, Daniel went to the king. Daniel was so full of faith that instead of walking away, instead of running away from danger, or from a hard situation, he ran into it. He was prepared. That's why he was able to run into it. It's like a fireman. Firemen blow my mind. They're amazing men and women. They're incredible people. They are so prepared. They've trained so much that instead of running away when there's danger and running away from a house that's burning, and running away from a difficult situation, they're the people that run into it. Everyone else is running away. But they're prepared. They're equipped. They know who they are. They know what they're able to do. They've got their equipment. They've got their outfits on, right? And their axes and their hoses. They've got it. It kind of sounds like the armor of God, right? They're prepared. They're ready. They're filled with confidence, and they run into danger when there's a situation instead of running away from it. And Daniel, in the same way, he was prepared. Instead of running away from this danger and this hard situation, he ran into it. And it said that he went to the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. It's boldness. Daniel was prepared. But it didn't stop with being positioned. Daniel didn't stop with being prepared. He knew that he had to be prayed up, and that's number three. How do you get the prophetic word of the Lord? You got to be prayed up. Prayed up. Prayed up. Daniel didn't respond in his own strength. Believe me, Daniel knew that when he went and asked for time, it wasn't so that he could, you know, be all that and think really hard and figure out a way out and make this all happen in his own strength. Daniel was asking for time so that he could go fall on his knees before the living God, the revealer of mysteries, and plead and ask for revelation. That's why Daniel asked for time. And he responded with his preparation by going and getting prayed up. Getting prayed up. So that he could get and receive the prophetic word of the Lord. And he called his buddies to join him in it. Reminds me of our 40-day fasting and prayer that we're finishing up tomorrow. As we're doing this together. We're in this together. The people of God coming together. Passing that baton off for 40 days of fasting and prayer, seeking God for answers, for revelation, for breakthrough, for our nation, for our community. We're doing it together. Daniel did it together. He was prayed up, and he got prayed up with his buddies. It says this in verse 17, then Daniel returned to his house, and he explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? He told them what was going on, man. The guys, this is crazy. This is insane. We got to pray. And so he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning the mystery. Guys, we got to get prayed up. We got to get on our knees. We need God to reveal mysteries like right now. We need the Lord to show up. Have any of you found yourselves in situations where you are desperate for God to show up? Come on, and if I don't see a hand up, I want to come talk to you because you are an anomaly. And who knows, maybe you walk on water also. You just might do that, right? Daniel, he's in a tough situation, in a tight spot. He doesn't run away. He gets prayed up, and he asks his friends to join him in it. And he asks his friends to pray for the mystery so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So, we're positioned, we're prepared, we're prayed up, but if we stop there, excuse my English, but ain't nothing going to happen. You know what I mean? If we just stop being positioned, prepared, and prayed up, and we're like, well, we did our thing, we're done, then we've fallen well short of what God's called us to. Think of it this way, it's Christmas season, right? How many of you know that? It's coming on. I'm already celebrating Christmas because I'm not a huge fan of what happens and celebrate on October 31st. I'm just not. So I just already start getting in Christmas. We've already started talking about, you know, decorating the lobby and the church for Christmas. So I'm already in the Christmas spirit. And pretty soon it's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, right? And I love that season. So it's Christmas season, and you know you're going to be getting together maybe with some family or friends on maybe Christmas Eve. Come to Evident Life Church Christmas Eve service, which is always off the charts, amazing and exciting time. If you have kids, they will love it, and adults too. We got the candlelight, and I know it's a really early plug for Christmas Eve service, not even November yet, but I'm already thinking about it. But if you get to your Christmas Eve time with friends and family and you're going to exchange gifts and love on one another, maybe on Christmas Day with gifts, and so you spend a month or some guys in the room, 2 hours on Christmas Eve, you know, running over to Walmart and picking up some things, whatever it is, right? And you get your gifts for all your family and loved ones and friends and all that. But if you don't show up, you've got all the gifts. You're prepared. You're positioned. You're prepared. You might even be prayed up. You know what kind of blessings you're going to share with them. But if you don't show up and actually hand out those gifts and give those gifts to them, then all the preparation, all the shopping, all the wrapping really doesn't matter at all. It's really sweet of you, but the gifts are still wrapped up back at your house. Doesn't do a whole lot of good. The same thing with the prophetic word of the Lord. If we have taken the time to position ourselves, to be prepared and to be prayed up, and we're ready and we're hearing from God and we're receiving what God is on his heart and what he wants to say to our world, to our coworkers, to our classmates, to our friends, to our families, to our neighbors, and we're seeking God and we're praying and we're hearing God's heart for them. But then if we just hold it, go, oh, that's really sweet, God. Thanks for sharing that with me. And then we just go on about life and don't give it out. Really, not a whole lot has happened. And so Daniel, after he's positioned, prepared, and prayed up, he goes and he professes the prophetic word of the Lord. He shares it. He doesn't keep it with himself, does he? He reveals the mysteries of heaven to the king of all people. Verse 27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he's asked for. In other words, hey, the world didn't have the answers, did they, king? All your quote-unquote smart people who were just filled with pathetic answers, they didn't have it, right? But there is a God. Now, he's talking to the king. This is a godless king who worships foreign false gods. And Daniel walks in front of the king after spending time with God, positioned, prepared, prayed up, and he said, but there is a God, king. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. And he has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in the days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. And then Daniel proceeded to share point by point, fact by fact, exactly what the king had dreamt, exactly the dream that he had. Every detail, he declares it to the king because he received that mystery from the God of heaven, the creator of the universe who reveals mysteries to us. It's humbling, isn't it? And Daniel spoke it word for word. And then he declared to the king what it meant. What God was saying to the king. He spoke it unafraid. He spoke it out unashamed. Daniel spoke the prophetic word of the Lord to the king. Now, I want us to go back and remember something we talked about earlier. The world is desperate for answers. As much now as ever in the history of mankind, people are still desperate for answers, and they're lost, and they don't know what's up or down. They don't have it figured out. They may act like it, but they don't. And they're desperate for answers. There was an old preacher named Vance Havner. He would say this often. He said that the tragedy of our time is that the situation is desperate, but the saints are not. The world's desperate. The situation is desperate. But sometimes the church doesn't seem like they're desperate. What the world needs now is a church that is willing. The world needs is a church that is desperate to speak prophetically into our culture. The world needs us, church. The world needs to hear what we're hearing from heaven. The world needs the prophetic word of the Lord. The world needs the church to be positioned, which we are and you are, prepared, prayed up, and willing and actually desperate to profess the prophetic word of God. The mysteries of heaven. In many ways, this is something that I prayed for. You know, as a pastor, I was preaching every Sunday and teaching and equipping the saints for the work of the kingdom out there in the broken, hard, harsh world. And all of a sudden, I had this conviction that just was like, all I'm doing, God, is preparing everybody else. But I'm sitting here in the safe four walls of the church just telling everybody else how to deal with it out there in the world and what to do in the world. And I'm like, God, I don't want to be left out. I also want to kick down the gates of hell. And I want to set the captives free. And I want to be on the front lines just like everybody else in my church family. And so I said, God, would you give me a ministry outside the four walls of the church? I appreciate the blessing and the privilege to preach and to teach the saints. But I want to also, I want to have my skin literally in the game out there where it can get hurt. So I was praying. I asked God for that. That was many years ago. And the Lord answered my prayer. And he began to open up opportunities for me to minister in our community, in our state, and even in our nation. And he opened up this area of elected officials. And pretty soon I found myself being invited to open different meetings at the state capitol, locally, and different places, open up in prayer. I got invited to different gatherings and to be on different committees, locally, state level, all these different things, and even with congressmen and stuff like that. I got invited to come and to pray with congressmen. And next thing I know, I found myself developing relationships with these men and women. And as they were desperate for answers and insecure, just like everyone has insecurities and times when they don't know what to do. Being invited into their office, or them coming to my office, or me getting a phone call at 10 o'clock at night, and being able to speak the prophetic word of the Lord into their lives, to speak truth into their lives, to just tell them what I know and what God is telling me. And it's been a real blessing, because Monday through Friday and Saturday and Sunday too, I'm here with y'all, but God gets me out there. I don't know if you guys remember the trip I took to Mexico. I want to just share that with you again and just give you this as an example of how we can be the prophetic voice in our world today. So I got invited last year. It was about a year ago that I was on the Arizona legislature, their delegation, their trade delegation to Mexico. And they invited me. I was surprised. They invited me to go along as a pastor to open up the different sessions and meals and things like that in prayer, which was surprising, and I don't know if it's ever been done, at least in the last 20, 30, 40 years. But they invited me to go, so I just figured, all right, I'm just going to get a chance to pray a couple times and just invite God to show up and thank God for the food, which was really good, but it wasn't Mexican food. Can you believe that? We went to Mexico, and they didn't serve us good Mexican food. They served us this American-style food. I was so disappointed in that. But anyway, so the first gathering, we were in Mexico City, up in this fancy high-rise place. And by the way, Mexico City is phenomenal. It makes downtown Phoenix look like, you know, Gilbert or something. You know what I mean? It's astounding. It's beautiful. And we're up there, and so I opened it in prayer, opened up things in prayer, and I had officials from Mexico coming up and saying, wow, this was amazing. We just don't do this in our country. You know, we don't get to hear people pray in the name of Jesus, you know, opening up different gatherings. This was awesome. And so I thought, yeah, that was great. I didn't know if they were going to have me pray at any more. I didn't know if this was just a one-off and just kind of the obligatory, hey, we had a pastor come and he did this thing. But I wanted to be prepared for the next gathering. And so on the bus to the next place that we were going to be the next day, I started seeking God. And I said, God, if you give me a chance to speak, what do you want me to speak? If you give me a chance to pray, what do you want me to pray? If you give me a chance, if you give me a microphone, what words do you want declared over the people and over the gathering and over the nation and all that kind of stuff? So I was, instead of being on the bus just talking with everybody and you know, laughing and joking and all that, I felt compelled to get prayed up, because I felt positioned, I felt prepared, but I need to be prayed up. So I asked God for words. And every one of the meetings, there was about four or five other times that they gave me the microphone. I'm like the only guy in the delegation that had the microphone at every single one of those important gatherings. And they gave it to me. And I had the opportunity to hear what God wanted to speak and declare the prophetic word, because each one of those times I asked, he gave me something to speak over that gathering. And almost, and no, not almost, every single time it was dead on to the topic that they were going to be discussing that evening. It was amazing, and they would refer back to the words that the pastor spoke and prayed at the beginning of the session as they were talking about the topics that they were discussing, leaders from Mexico and Arizona. It's amazing. It's amazing. But I had to get prayed up, because I didn't have anything except, I don't know what I'm doing here. That's all I had. But God had mysteries of heaven that he wanted to reveal and things he wanted to move in those gatherings. And so we all can do that with your neighbors. God hasn't placed you in their lives just to kind of, you know, hey, how you doing? Yeah, the yard looks good. It might rain tomorrow, you know, or your dog's barking too much. I don't know what it is, but he didn't just place you in their lives for that. He has positioned you there to bring the prophetic word of the Lord to reveal the mysteries of heaven into their lives. You're not at a job simply to make some money. Although, praise God, he uses that, and he wants us to work hard and be effective at our jobs and our professions. Never cut corners. Go at it full on. But bigger than that, you are positioned there by God to be the mouthpiece of the Lord and to bring the prophetic word of God into people's lives in that place. Kids, in school, the same thing. You're not just in school to kind of get along and to hope you fit in. You are there as the royal priesthood to bring the prophetic word of the Lord when your classmates are having troubles and difficulties. You seek God for a word of life that you can declare and speak over them, and to bring them something that nobody else is bringing them. The word of God declared and spoken over their lives. That's our role. Now later on, actually tomorrow night, I have another opportunity, I believe, to bring and to be the prophetic voice in our community. I'm just giving you my examples just so that you can get ideas of maybe how God and where he's using you in different places. But I was asked by the East Valley NAACP to be part of a healing service that they're happening. There was some violence recently between the police and some of the African community recently in Mesa. And I really respect the East Valley NAACP. These are amazing people. And they, instead of getting on the news and trying to rile up all this craziness and just take things from bad to worse, they said, what we need right now is a healing service. And so they've called a healing service, and they're bringing in the police chiefs from the East Valley, the mayors from the East Valley, other leaders from the East Valley, and we're going to pray for peace and reconciliation and healing in our community. Isn't that astounding? That's beautiful. And I just feel privileged that they called and they asked me to be the one who brings the word and the prayer about peace for our community. And so I'm not walking into that gathering just thinking, well, I'm going to pull out some prayer on peace or just kind of run on autopilot. I'm seeking the Lord for the prophetic word of the Lord that will bring healing, that will move mountains, that will push back evil and rip the gates of hell off their hinges in our community and bring the light of Christ Jesus in our community and a peace that truly passes all understanding. Amen. We are called to be the prophetic voice of the Lord. Oh, I have so much more to preach here. What is prophecy? Let's jump into this really quick. You know what Peter says about prophecy? He says, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God. Listen, here's what prophecy is. But men spoke from God. See where it originates? Where does truth originate? Where does the revelation come from? It comes from God. But men actually have to speak it. But men spoke from God. They prophesied. They declared, they opened up their mouths, and they took what they heard from God, and they spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Prophecy. So prophecy is God speaking through his church. The third big point this morning is this. God's word, or should we say, the answer, doesn't return void. When the answer comes from God, it doesn't return void because it is the word of God. It is truth with a capital T. It does not return void. And when we partner with the Lord and when we speak his word, big things happened. It happened in and through the life of Daniel. Let's just pick it up here and bring it to a close in verse 45 where it says, the great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true. And the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. And then check this out. The king said, this is the king, the godless king. The one who was ready just to murder a bunch of people, right? The godless king said to Daniel, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery. Then the king placed Daniel in a high position. He lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. Look, when we step out, positioned, prepared, prayed up, and actually professed the prophetic word of the Lord, big things happen. Nations can change. History can change. Godless people can turn to the Lord and declare that He is God. The name of Jesus can be elevated in our nation, in our community today, when the church professes the prophetic Lord and is the prophetic voice in our world today. The world needs us to show up in this capacity. They're desperate. Conventional wisdom says, hey, the world doesn't want to hear what you have to say. They don't want to hear what God has to say. That's baloney. A polite way of saying it. It is. It's baloney. That's not true. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. The world is desperate to hear what we have to say and what God has to say. Sometimes they don't know it, but they are desperate for that. Conventional wisdom would say that we need to keep it to ourselves. Again, a lie. That's the last thing we need to do. We don't get the present all wrapped up in a bow and then keep it to ourselves. We hand it out. We give it to the ones who need it. We bring the prophetic word of the Lord into our culture, into our community. That's our role. That's our responsibility. And like Daniel, we're not doing it in our own strength. We're doing it in and through the power of God. And if we don't show up, people are going to die. And I wanted to share this, and it sounds like a dramatic, overstatement, but it's not. It's the literal truth. If we don't bring the prophetic word, and if we are not the prophetic voice in our culture today, people will die. If we're not speaking the prophetic word about life and the preciousness of life, unborn babies will die. If we don't call out injustice, the poor and the neglected will be abused. If we don't speak on their behalf, the hurting and the depressed will die as they're ravaged by the lies of Satan. We have an epidemic of drug epidemic, an epidemic of suicide in our culture today. And if the prophetic voice of God isn't out there pushing back those lies straight from the pit of hell, that's going to continue. But when we declare life and light into our community and over people's lives, darkness has to flee. And life and light is the result. We got to be the prophetic voice in our world today. Praise God. I want to end with Romans 10, verses 14 and 15. And we're going to have some baptisms. Can y'all stay just a couple extra minutes for some baptisms? Come on, Jesus, we love it. Romans 10, 14 and 15 say this. This is how we're closing. How then can they call on the one that they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them, opening up their mouths and preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent, as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. How beautiful are the feet. How beautiful, how wonderful, how spectacular is it when the church is the prophetic voice of Jesus in our culture, in our community today. It's beautiful. Amen, church.